Hello once again and welcome to another edition of The Name Game. This is Bob Zanotti and I'm in a long tunnel in Upper Valais, Canton Valais in southwestern Switzerland. And this noise that you hear in the background, that slapping noise back and forth, a liquid slapping, that's exactly what it is. We'll talk about the geography of where we are in just a moment. But let me first welcome to our program today Dr. Jürgen Rohmader. And Dr. Rohmader is very, very expert at this particular part of Canton Valais and this particular location and the immediate environs. We'll explain that in just a moment. First of all, Dr. Rohmader, what is this?
This valley has three parts. The upper part is a glacier, and then comes a nice stretch, and then rocks. And the problem is how to get the water along the rocks. This was done by very complicated pipes going along the rocks.
We're talking about the water that melts from the glaciers.
The water, yes, and also spring water. But the water is very important for the agriculture. It does not rain very much here. The climate is extremely dry. It's probably the driest point in all of Switzerland.
That's important to our program today.
And so they need artificial watering.
And so they built this tunnel through here, and the pipes conduct the drain off, the
exactly.
water draining off.
Only five years ago, that they built a tunnel. It's large enough so you can even drive through. And in the pipes, which have a very slow incline, the water goes through with enormous pressure.
And it's splashing inside, like a washing machine. Well, this is very also pleasantly cool in here. It's nature's own air conditioning. But let's move outside into the sunlight, Dr. Rohmader, because that, as I said, is very much the true focus of our mission today on The Name Game. Now back out into the daylight, and it's completely different outside. We are greeted here by intense sun and a beautiful view of mountains in all directions. We see the high Alps. We are located at the eastern end of Canton Valais, which is the German-speaking part of Canton Valais, and the nearby town is Brieg. Now, if we go north of Brieg into the mountains, we are in our mystery village. This particular spot, not area, this spot in Canton Valais is very dry and very hot, and our mystery village, the little area where we're right here in front of us now, the mountains on the north side of the Rhone Valley above Brieg, produce saffron. And it's said to be the world's finest saffron as well. Why should saffron be produced in and around our mystery village today?
This spot here has the same climate as some parts in Spain. It has enormous altitude. It is very cold in the winter, very hot in the summer, and very dry. And these are the three requirements for the climate. And another factor is the soil. And our mystery spot is very steep. We actually do look down to the Rhone River, and the fields where the saffron is cultivated are extremely steep, so you cannot use machines. But these steep fields have the advantage that the sun goes on it on an angle of almost 90 degrees, and this makes it even hotter, and this is all the better for the saffron.
When is the harvest period?
It normally starts in the last week of September. And if you come to the mystery spot here in the middle of October, I can guarantee you that you see the saffron growing. And we even had once saffron at Christmas, 2 days after Christmas.
So it's a very unpredictable plant, really.
It is.
Now, why did saffron come to our mystery village here in the first place? Was it deliberately brought here and cultivated, or did it appear wild?
The saffron probably traveled on the back of the Islam, from Kashmir to the Near Orient, on to the Maghreb, and from Morocco it went into Spain when the Arabs conquered Spain in the 8th century. And maybe a pilgrim and maybe a migrant soldier brought the bulbs from Spain to the mystery spot and planted it here.
So it's not native at all?
Not at all.
But it thrives here, that's for sure.
Yes, and we have written evidence that the saffron cultivation goes back to the 14th century. So you can assume that it has been here a long time before that.
I know in some parts of this area, not specifically right here, but in many parts of Canton Valley, it's said that there may have been Arabic settlements, maybe from the Maghreb, who migrated up here, because also the people you see look very Mediterranean.
There is a legend that they had been here, the so-called Saracen, as we say. But also, of course, the Romans.
Heavily Romanized here.
Heavily Romanized, and they, of course, added their part of the culture of this area here.
Well, let's not forget, of course, Dr. Romater, that if we turn around, we can look down and see the Simplon Pass Road over there. We're looking directly south, and I suppose an airline distance, as the crow flies, Italian territory is not more than 15 kilometers from where we stand.
It's virtually behind that mountain.
Now, let's get back to saffron, because it's not enough that you simply have this, one could say, a very beautiful plant. I mean, it's a very colorful flower, but you're interested in the pollen, I believe, which is contained inside. Or what is it that you actually harvest in the saffron flower?
We use only the three red stigma, as we call them.
Now, this is what gives the orange color in the saffron in cuisine, in cooking.
Yeah. At the end, you can imagine how expensive it gets, because it's an enormous amount of work just to collect these three teeny tiny little elements. And it takes many, many flowers just for a handful of saffron.
Now, we said, or we made the claim, I don't make it, but I know it is made, that this is the best saffron, the highest quality saffron in the world. Has this been objectively proved?
It was done in a laboratory at the University of Bern, and I did it myself. It's quite easy to do. You can measure in every kitchen the coloring strength of the saffron. And as a matter of fact, it is up to one-third stronger than the best saffron on the world market.
Is it the most expensive spice, as a matter of fact? I believe so. You're nodding yes. And I guess because it is so difficult to cultivate, as you've described it. But the saffron that's harvested here in our mystery location in Canton Valley is not used for cooking primarily. You personally use it for something very exclusive and very novel, and that is you produce what is also, logically speaking, the world's most expensive schnapps or liqueur made from this saffron. And I know I've had the treat of tasting it, and it comes out as a beautiful golden color, absolutely beautiful, a honey gold color almost. And it is supposed to be very good for one's health. Saffron is known to be good for the health.
There's more and more studies done on the health of saffron. Unfortunately, the statistics are not broad and wide enough to go to somebody like the FDA in the United States and come up with evidence which is requested by the authorities to come up with official claims. It fights this and that disease, and it's good for this and that. But there is broad knowledge, particularly in Iran, where saffron is used widely. It's the biggest saffron producer in the world. Of course, they have a lot of experience. For instance, after funerals, saffron in quite high amounts is given against, as they call it, excessive sadness after funerals.
It's an antidepressant.
It is, and I would call it, with my trivial experiments, a short-term tranquilizer effective for 2 or 3 hours.
And you are a pharmacist by training.
That's correct.
How much of this saffron schnapps is produced every year? I imagine because the production of saffron is very limited, you don't produce much schnapps either.
It's a couple of thousand bottles only every year. And it's distributed mainly in this area here, and then upon order we mail it to, but we'll never can hope for reaching something like the European market, there simply will never be enough saffron off our mystery spot.
Now, you personally have made a business of producing the schnapps, but what about the other people here in our mystery village? Is it an industry for them, or do they have to do other things as well?
And nobody lives on it. All these saffron planters have very small fields. The average size is only 250 square meters, and they do it on the side.
Now, as far as this being a destination is concerned, it is not a classic tourist destination, except that it is extremely beautiful, and people in the know do come up here. It's very popular with the Swiss themselves. I mean, just to come up here and look down at this remarkable, striking, breathtaking view, I guess we must be, I don't know how high, it must be like 1,200, 1,300 meters here at least. And we can look down into the Rhone Valley and see all of the life and the settlements down below and the side valleys leading out to the south. We see the Simplon Pass. This is wonderful. But also this very largely unspoiled nature for hiking, just for walking, as people love to do here. That is a big attraction. I guess this is the big attraction. Our mystery location also has two little restaurants. I know I've eaten here, and they're both excellent. And they also have specialties on the menu based on the local saffron, and I can highly recommend it. And saffron rice, for example, and pastas made with saffron, and various other things, which you know very well. 700 people live in the village. It's very small and scattered around, as we can see. People have a few cows sometimes, or they have other agriculture, I suppose, fruit, or they are involved in other service. This is a very old settlement here, isn't it? It goes back generations and generations.
Yes, there's a book written on our mystery village, and the village obviously goes as far back as we have written memory.
Well, there is a walk, and I've come up here many times, as a walk I'm looking forward to doing when we're finished. We could go back with the car or with a postal bus. There's regular service up here. You go to Brieg, get on a postal bus. There's regular service up to our mystery village, and it's right on a road which you can follow north of Brieg, sort of actually northwest slightly, isn't it, to be very technical. And our mystery village, here's another tip, because it's not an easy one today. It's a four-letter word starting with M, and it happens to be the German word for mouth. And that's a starting point for a walk, which I love to do, because from here you can also join the so-called Höheweg, which is the high road, which is a beautiful hiking path, which goes kilometers upon kilometers upon kilometers all the way up the valley. And I'm going to do one that takes about an hour. You start in our mystery village and walk down towards a little station there on the rail line, which is below us, a place called Lalden, L-A-L-D-E-N. And in between, there's a little grotto. There's a shrine in there in the rocks. And I understand that's about halfway down. And I understand that's an important and very popular place of pilgrimage here, too, in this area.
Yes. And it's a very moving experience to take part in a mass which is given there. And it's something for the local people. Hardly any tourists is told about it, and they just don't come.
There is a very religious people here, Roman Catholic.
Very, very religious.
Surrounded by these inspiring high Alps all around us here. Dr. Jürgen Rohmeder, thank you so much indeed. The inventor of the world's most expensive schnapps, made out of saffron, your special project here in our mystery village. Thank you so much for telling us about it. This is Bob Zanotti in Canton Valley, wishing you very good luck playing the name game.